Okay, we still have a little bit of time. We're going to finish in about 30 minutes. Praise the Lord. So we hope you can all stick with us. I think it's a good word.
Amen.
If we can come back to the simplicity which is in Christ.
Amen.
I think it's very good. You know, we may say, we may feel it is impossible. You know, history moves forward. You may say, you know, I've been here 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. How can we get back to where we were before? It seems like impossible. With man, it is impossible.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Right? We're with God.
Amen.
So in the Revelation, the Lord says, remember. He doesn't say remember. He doesn't want to frustrate us, torture us.
Yeah.
Does he?
No.
You know, he's not saying remember so you can feel worse because it's impossible. No, he says remember where you're fallen. Remember. Why? Because it is possible to come back.
Amen.
You know, we've been through many things, and in the process, we have picked up things that are not that helpful. We picked up concepts, teachings. On one hand, we picked up a lot of good things, biblical things, spiritual things, right? We have, through those experiences, we are changed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, whatever you have gone through is not in vain.
Amen.
You know, we need to appreciate it. You may say, I wasted my life. No, you didn't waste your life. If you were with Jesus, touching Jesus,
yes.
Following Jesus,
amen.
Right? It was not in vain.
True.
Now, you may not be where you expected. Right? You may have a concept, you know, this stuff is easy. First, I get regenerated, then I'm sanctified, I'm transformed, I'm conformed, and I'm glorified. 1 year transformation. 1 year sanctified. Conformed, transformed. By the year four, I should be already glorified. Well, in teaching, it's easy. But in practice, it doesn't work that way. Right? And that individually and also together, we have passed through something. Yes, we're not where you were expected to be. And in some sense, you were sold, as John said, this deluxe package. You know, I remember going to, when I lived in Chicago, I think maybe 1974 or prior to that point, we went to a conference in, I think it was in Toronto.
Yep.
Okay, then we were going to take the earth. And this was a 5-year plan. It's really simple. You know, at that time, there were not many churches on the East Coast, so year one, that was probably 75, 76, we take the East Coast of the U.S. The next year, you know, 76, 70, we're going to Europe, Western Europe. The year after, we're going to Eastern Europe. The year after that, we're in Jerusalem, and Jesus comes back. That was the main point of the conference. Well, along the way, it didn't quite happen. I don't think. I don't think Jesus came back. Right? So, you know, we may not be where we expected to be. But, okay, that does not mean that what you went through was in vain. No, the Lord led us through things.
Amen.
And we should, I believe one day, we will thank the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Right? Amen. There's a hymn, a good hymn for you in the hymn book. It says, not now. You know, not now, but in the coming years. We'll know the reason. Right? Something like that. You should look at it. You know why there was, you thought there'd always be sunny days, why there was rain. Well, that stuff didn't work out the way you thought. It says, you know, one day we'll catch the golden thread again. One day we'll know. Okay, brothers and sisters, we don't. Right? We don't see the whole thing, clearly. There's a brother here, I don't see him quite now. His mother wrote something. She said this, it is like embroidery. For those sisters, I know all the sisters embroider, right? But you know what I'm talking about. No, think about your mom. Your grandma, remember what they used to do? She said, it's like embroidery, right? You know, you look at the front, the pattern, you see all this flowers, trees, all that stuff. You see the picture. She said, okay, now you look at the backside. You look at the backside. It looks like a mess. Right? There's all these loose ends, there's these knots, there's the mistakes, there's all kind of stuff. It looks ugly. She said this. Okay, that is like our life. Many times when we're going through things, individually, corporately, which side are we looking at? You're looking at the back side. You see the back side, and you don't see the other side. We need the Lord to help us to see. One day, brothers and sisters, you'll see in your own life, right? And we'll see together, you'll see, wow, praise God. You know why it was this way at that time? Yes, okay. Right now, we don't see it, but one day we will. So we need to appreciate the Lord. Amen. That doesn't mean there weren't mistakes. That doesn't mean we didn't, in a sense, get off track. We didn't pick up, right? Yes, those kind of things happen. But still, the Lord was there. Amen.
Amen.
Right? So there's two sides to this. You know, and I think, you know, there's a baby and there's bathwater. That's the analogy that some people like to use, right? We do, right? Please, hold on to the baby. Hang on to the baby. And the bath water should go where bath water goes, right? That's where we are. So, brothers, don't throw everything out. That's one extreme. Another extreme is we want to keep everything. Well, that may not be that wise to do that. So, and we need discernment. Brothers and sisters, the Bible asks us to discern. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21, something, maybe 23, says, discern all things. Discern all things. Hold fast what is good. Right? Okay. So that's an exercise on every believer. Right, we need to. So, as you consider what you've gone through, your understanding on different things, on different levels, then please, we need to begin. We have been short, but now we need, because of that, we need to have makeup. Exercise discernment, right? To realize what are the precious things we've received. On the other hand, hold fast what is good. On the other hand, that means some things you need to let go. Amen.
Amen.
What will help us? Yeah, we need to have an attitude. Lord, I come back to you. Now this thing, I need to be with you. Help me, help us discern as we go forward. Right? And I believe, you know, we're not here just to, we don't want to have a kind of, be a kind of frozen time capsule. You know what they do sometimes? Okay, this is year 2008, let's open a time capsule. Let's put in everything represented 2008, and we lock it away, and you know, 50 years later, 100 years later, they're going to open it. We're not here to freeze the church life, are we? No, we don't want to preserve so people can come back and say, "Whoa!" For a piece of living history, take it out of the freezer, right? So. That, you know, God is moving.
Amen.
Right? Isn't He? We have a living, moving God.
Amen.
So we're not here just to perpetuate the things we did before.
Amen.
Right? Rather, we need to realize the Lord is moving forward. We need to move with Him.
Amen.
Right? The Spirit is moving.
Amen.
And we need to move with the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so we can't just preserve a set of teachings, practices, right, and ways to do things. No, we keep the crucial things and we go forward. Amen.
Amen.
So, and I think, you know, so there's a core of items, there's a core matters we need to keep. right? Of course, they're the essential matters of the faith, right? The truth we keep. On the other hand, many other things can change, especially our ways, our practices, right? And actually, if we don't change, we'll find out we're not effective. You lose effectiveness, right? The Lord's not able to do what He wants to do. Amen.
Amen.
So that's why we have a living Lord, and we need a living relationship with Him.
Amen.
Right? So what is the core? The core is Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, who He is, what He's done. The core is a matter of our God and what He wants.
Amen.
Okay, those that you want to say His economy, His plan, His purpose, that's fine. Okay, those are the core things. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, beyond that call, we need to follow the Spirit to be able to apply.
Amen.
You know, and I like just to illustrate that a little bit from Acts.
Praise the Lord.
Because Acts is good. And Acts is important.
Whatever you do is important.
The most important book in the Bible right now is...
Tomorrow you will give me Revelation.
I'm joking. But, you know, I think we need to be flexible. You know, one way is, you know, the Lord in the beginning of Acts charged the disciples, okay, be my witnesses. Yes, you'll receive power, the Spirit will come upon you, and what to do? Be my witnesses. Right, from Jerusalem to Samaria to the end of the earth. Okay, that's what he said. Now, how to work that out? He did not give them a manual. Right? Do this in this situation, do this and that. No, that's the charge. Is it large? It's very large. Does it take a long time to work out? It does. On the other hand, how to do that? It's a matter of a living relationship between the believers and the Lord.
Amen.
Right? It's not just... You know, we sometimes make it simple. We like to have one way, one size fits all. So Christians like to boil down the gospel. God so loved the world. And yes, God so loved the world. That is one way to convey the gospel. That's not the only way. Right? So, you know, if that gives you, if you have John 3:16, you have one bullet in your gun. Right? And sometimes you're there. Right? Sorry. Sometimes, you know, you meet something, and okay, it's still coming towards you. Right? You need a few more bullets. Right? So, I think it's interesting that you say the gospel. What is the gospel? It's Christ, it's His work, right? It's His salvation. But how to convey the gospel? Then in Acts is a story of, we can see how they learned how to convey that. And the different people ended up different ways. Right? So there's a verse, let me just read it to you. This general description says, okay, this is about the early part of the church life, end of chapter 5, says, and every day in the temple from house to house, they did not cease teaching and announcing the gospel of Jesus as the Christ. Now the last part. What were they doing in Jerusalem every day from house to house? They did not cease teaching and announcing the gospel of Jesus as the Christ. So that's the summary. What was the gospel? Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
He's the Christ. He's the promised one. He's the one who's going to come. He's the one God sent. Jesus is the Christ. See,
amen.
That's the gospel in a nutshell. Now, that gospel conveys Christ to a certain group of people. That's very good. The message matched the people. They were in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a matter of Jews. And the gospel to the Jews is what? Jesus is the Christ, amen, the Messiah.
Amen.
See, and people responded to that gospel. Now, when they went out from Jerusalem, Judea, eventually the message changed. You say, the gospel changed? No, the gospel didn't change. The message changed. The center is still Jesus. So later, and I think this is interesting, when they went up to You know, this was the Spirit's initiation when the gospel went up to Antioch. This is later on in chapter 11. Okay, it says 11:19. Those who were scattered by the tribulation related to Stephen passed through as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, speaking the word except to no one except Jews only. Okay, but verse 20. This is very good. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and spoke also to the Greeks, or spoke even to Greeks, announcing what? The Lord Jesus as the gospel. See, why is that important? You know, it's very good. The Lord moved. God wanted to move. We know the Lord wanted to spread, right? Eventually, there were some brothers who the Lord had away. Who they were, we don't know. Hallelujah. They weren't big names. They weren't big shots. They were regular saints. They went up to Antioch. And what did they do? They responded to the Lord.
Amen.
And they began to speak the gospel, not just to Jews, not just to Gentiles who were linked to Judaism, the proselytes, God-fearing Gentiles. No, they began to preach the gospel to Greeks.
Amen.
That means what? Heathen Greeks.
Yeah.
Right? Street Greeks. that was the big step. Before, you know, they preached the gospel to Jews, and then there were the Greek-speaking Jews. That was, and then there were the Gentiles related to the Jewish religion. That's like Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, but he was God-fearing, so he was close, right? He honored the God of the Hebrews. But then they went to Antioch. They went beyond that. See? They went to the Greeks, the pure, unadulterated heathen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? That was a big step.
Amen.
And that was actually a step beyond Peter's... Yes, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles. But he went to Cornelius... Right, he was not that far off. He was right on the edge of the, you know, synagogue. With, right, but they went to the Greeks. But the interesting thing is, when they went to the Greeks, they had to find a way to present the message.
Amen.
And Jesus is the Christ doesn't work. See, with Greeks, Jesus is the Christ doesn't work. Why? Christ means Messiah. And you tell me Jesus is the Messiah. That means he's not for me. Messiah's for the Jews.
Yeah.
He's for the Jews. You tell me Jesus is the Messiah, thank you very much. Good for them. Bad for me. See, doesn't work. Doesn't work. But here's some brothers and sisters who had the Lord, had the Spirit, who were willing to translate their message to the people in a new way. A new way. What is that message? It is Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Okay, Jesus is Lord means something.
Amen.
To Greeks, Jesus is Lord means something.
Amen.
Messiah, I don't know who that is. Lord, I know. I know. At least I have an idea. What does Lord mean? See? So, we don't have time to get into it, but I think it shows us, you know, the process the Lord is trying to go through. You know, the great thing about the Jesus, about God, about Jesus, the Jesus we believe, the faith we have, it is for all men.
Amen.
And it is translatable.
Amen.
Somebody
sure.
said it, right? The Word became flesh.
Amen.
Right? It's translatable. God comes to you.
Amen.
The way where you are, as you are, to meet you. That is true in Jesus Christ. That is true in the message.
Yes.
The message of the gospel. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what are we doing today? We like to translate the message of Christ to people.
Amen.
How to present Christ in 2008 North America.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Then we need to find a way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's a big topic. You know, but see, there's a big difference. This is an aside. What is a major difference between Muslim, the Islam, and Christianity? Because there's a lot of differences. One major difference is Islam says, number one, God never became a man.
Right.
God is God, you're you. God is great.
You're not.
You're not. God's up there, you're down here. Right? See? Islam, God never became a man. Islam. Yes, he has prophets, but God never became a man. Secondly, the Quran can never be translated. See? The Muslims will tell you, no, if you translate the Quran into English, whatever, whatever, no, you lost it. It is untranslatable. That's their teaching. That's their doctrine. You cannot translate the Quran. You want the Quran, you need to learn Arabic. See? That's them. What is the Christian faith? The Christian faith, no, it's totally different. God became a man.
Amen.
The Word became flesh. That is translation. Right? Of God into humanity. Number two, the Bible can be and should be translated.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Otherwise,
Amen.
We're all here trying to learn Greek.
Right.
Sorry, I don't know Greek. How about you? Right? But no. See? The Bible's in English. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? Every language. Right?
Right.
The Bible's in Korean and Chinese. Right? Right? Punjabi. Whatever. Right? Why? Because God comes to you.
Amen.
God reaches you.
Amen.
Right? Where you are.
Amen.
That's why the New Testament's in 2,000 languages. You don't know 2,000, right? We can't even name 2,000 languages. But it's true. Why? Because God comes to men.
Amen.
Where they are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? And, okay, the way it's presented is different. Right? So that is, right, today. You know, and that means what? Many things can change. That's why we get into that. Right? The core is the same. Right? Jesus Christ, God, Jesus Christ, His salvation, God's purpose. Yes, the core is the same. The truth is the same. But the message and the way it's presented is translatable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What does that mean for us? Many, many things can change.
Amen.
Right? And many, many things should change.
Amen.
And many practices can change.
Amen.
But the core is still there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? So, we are not... I think it's an important distinction to say, okay, if you realize that, we should distinguish between what is truth and what are practices. Right? And many times we put them together and we end up insisting on practices. No. Practices are practices. Right? And they may be led by the Lord, led by the Spirit. They may be helpful for a long time, for a short time, but they're still practices. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Right? So, you know, like you think about the early church life. You know, they had salvation, right? Out of the salvation, the believers were led to practice certain things. Day by day, they were in the temple. And from house to house, right? They're gathering, they're breaking bread, they're praying, or whatever. And they had all things common. Right? That's very good. Who told them to do that? I don't know. Do you? Who told them to practice communism? Is it Karl Marx? I don't think so. Right? Spontaneously, there was a certain practice came out, right? How did it happen? The Bible doesn't tell us, but it happened. They failed to have all things common, right? And some people had land, sold houses, right? That's just what they did. The Spirit led that. That was a practice. How long did that last? At least it lasted for a little, right? You read the first few chapters up to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is a little difficulty, you know, but you realize that the New Testament, that practice, right, didn't continue that long, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? That should show us the Lord can lead, right, bring us into certain practices, certain ways of doing things. Then, after a while, you may find out, no, the Lord, we can try, you may say, it's not quite the same. try harder, brother. Try harder. Well, you can. But, you know, we're not here for a set of practices. We're here for Christ.
Amen.
We're here for a living Christ, for the Lord to lead us. Amen. The practices may come and go. Right? You know, when I first came in the church life, there was a lot of prayer reading in the meetings. You know, and the brothers would say, let's pre-read a verse. Different saints would stand up and say, for God, amen. For God, amen. For God, so. For God, so.
So.
Love. Right? Actually, I enjoyed something. We had a lot of, like, declaring, you want to call it pre-reading in the meetings. Right? Now, I don't know anybody said, brothers, sisters, from now on, we're not going to do that. I don't remember that. But somehow, after a while, we weren't doing that. Now, should we be doing that? Just tell me the answer. That depends.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That depends. Is the Lord doing that? Right? And then the answer may not be the same. Maybe some places, even today, the saints really feel they touch something. Right? Some other places feel, no. That's not that helpful, may confuse people. Right? So, brothers and sisters, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? We are not here for a set of practices.
Amen.
We're here for Christ.
Amen.
Right? We're here for what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? The practices may change. Jesus does not change.
Amen.
Salvation doesn't change. The Spirit doesn't change.
Amen.
God's purpose doesn't change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All may change, but Jesus never.
Amen.
Glory to His name.
Amen.
Right? Don't we sing that?
Amen.
Do we believe it?
Amen.
All may change, but Jesus never. Right? Even the kind of singing. You may say, Nigel, that's an old-fashioned song. Right? Right? Sometimes we may sing old-fashioned, we may sing contemporary.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, all these things can change. What is the Lord doing?
Amen.
Right? What is the Lord doing? The main thing is what? God wants to reach man.
Amen.
Right? If he can reach man through singing traditionally, let him reach man.
Amen.
If he can reach man through singing contemporaneously, then let him reach man. That's what it means.
Right?
We're not here for a set of practices. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're here for the Lord. We're here to follow up. So, brothers and sisters, okay, can we have this understanding?
Amen.
We're here for Christ. These are the essentials. This is the call. Many things can change. Can we be open so the Lord can lead us today?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And then if things, outward things get changed, you don't have to be that worried. Right?
Amen.
Christ does not change.
Amen.
Right? The Spirit has not changed. God has not changed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? But the Lord may be doing new things today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Spirit breaks through.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to finish. I think that's good enough.